This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the speech on me and to ease the understanding on you and to ease the application of what is being said and what is being heard to all of us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, Anas ibn Malik, one of the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ma ra'aytu ahadan kana arhama bil 'iyali min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I have never seen anyone in my entire life more merciful and kinder to children more than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the people has said, you know, to show the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way he deals with children, it's as if the whole world stops in how he gives them the full attention when he speaks to them. I'll give an example. There is a wonderful girl by the name of Amah, also known as Khalid. She narrates the story to us as she got older, to show you how that story impacted her so much so that she's telling others the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ready for the story? Bismillah. She said, "I came with my father one day to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was wearing a yellow dress. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the dress and he said, 'Sana, sana, beautiful, beautiful.' And he commented the beauty of her dress. Allahu Akbar. And one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for her and he told her, 'May Allah allow you to wear this dress until it wears out. Then you buy a new dress. Until you wear it, until it wears out. And may you buy a new dress. Until it wears out, and you buy a new one.' He prayed for her to have a long life. And indeed she did. Allahu Akbar. And one time that wonderful lady, one more time, Khalid, now she's an older lady, she says, when she was younger and she came with her father to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was playing on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So her father got angry at her and he told her to back off, to get down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her father, 'Daha, leave her, alayhi salatu wa sallam.' Not just that, one time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to pray one of the night prayers in the Masjid Isha Salah, and he grabbed one of his grandchildren. It was either Al-Hassan or Al-Hussein. So when he went to the Masjid to pray, he placed his grandchild next to him and began, 'Allahu Akbar.' And in the prayer, who tells us the story? One of the people that was praying in that congregation behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During one of the positions, and specifically in prostration in sajda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took such a long time that the narrator said, 'I lifted my head to see what's going on. Why he took so long in prostration? And I saw his grandson riding on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I went back to my prostration.' After the salah has ended, the people went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, 'Ya Rasulullah, what happened to you? We were so worried, we were so concerned that something happened to you, or maybe you received revelation.' The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 'None of that happened. Actually, what happened is that Ibni Hada, my grandson, was riding over my back, and I did not want to interrupt his play. I want him to have enough game time and so on.' He didn't say, 'I did not want him to fall.' He did not say, 'I did not want him to cry.' He said, 'I want him to enjoy his time.' Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet ﷺ knows exactly what he's doing and the lesson he's sending to the whole ummah, to the whole community. May Allah bless us and protect us all. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And the Prophet ﷺ says, there are times when I go to salah and I have the intention to prolong my prayer, but then I hear the crying of a baby. So I cut my prayer short. I hasten my salah. Why? Because I know how much pain the crying of the baby causes the mother. Allahu Akbar. This is the mercy he has to the child and to the mother. May Allah protect us, Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen, and grant us righteous children. Can you imagine if this was the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the children, and his love was immense and his mercy was immense? How would it be if he had his own baby child at this point in his life, right? Especially later on in his life. And indeed, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 8th year after immigration with a baby boy from Maria al-Qibtiyya. He said, and he celebrated, and he was happy. He said, "Tonight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with a baby boy, and I named my baby boy the same name of my father, my great-grandfather, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam." So Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was someone the Prophet was so happy with his presence, to give you a glimpse of that love. One time the Prophet ﷺ, FYI, he used to have his son Ibrahim be nourished and taken care of in the suburbs of Medina, which is quite a distance from where the Prophet ﷺ spends much of his time around the masjid, answering questions, so on and so forth. So Anas ibn Malik says he would miss his son so much that he would leave everything and go all the way to the suburbs just to hug his son, kiss his son, and then come all the way back. Can you imagine that? Like a student that goes abroad to a boarding school. So the father travels all the way there just to embrace the child, tell them that he loves them, and then he comes back. May Allah grant you and I to be righteous parents, Ameen Rabbil Alameen, to our children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to see his son growing right before his eyes, until Ibrahim, may Allah be pleased by him, and alayhi salam, reached the age of approximately 1.5 years old. That was in the 10th year after immigration. And that's the age which many of you perhaps know how cute that moment is. When that child starts saying some words that are kind of broken, so funny, you would love to hear it repeatedly back and back and back. This is the age where the child has emotions, can run to the door, oh, dad is back, mom is back, Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet ﷺ, without a doubt, enjoyed the upbringing of that beautiful age. However, brothers and sisters, at that age and in the 10th year after immigration, Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet ﷺ, started to get sick. And he became so sick. The Prophet ﷺ rushed to the house where Ibrahim was, and he carried Ibrahim, looking at him, sick and exhausted and in weakness. And the Prophet ﷺ got so emotional. He started to cry, seeing Ibrahim in that situation. And then he explained to the Abdurrahman bin Auf, who was a companion next to him, that these tears are tears of mercy, because Abdurrahman bin Auf was a bit surprised that the Prophet ﷺ was being very emotional. Because they thought, Ya Rasulullah, you too cry, like, you know, you're expressing your emotions, even though you know everything happens for a reason. Whatever happens to the believer is good for them. Then the Prophet teaches the whole world an important concept, that yes, we can cry, but this does not negate and does not mean that I'm not happy with Allah's decree. So you can cry, yet you're completely content with what Allah has decreed for you. May Allah allow you and I to have tears of mercy while we are pleased with Allah's decree. So Ibrahim continued to be sick while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding him, and his health of Ibrahim continued to get worse and worse. Anas ibn Malik said, I was there when Ibrahim took his last breath while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding him, and Ibrahim passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and cried and cried, and he said, if it wasn't, and I'm summarizing, he said, and if it wasn't for the promise of Allah that a believing family will be reunited in the afterlife, if it wasn't for that, I would have been a lot more sad. I would have grieved a lot more. Then he said, indeed, the eye cries and the heart is sad. And we are so sad for the departure of Ibrahim. And look what he says. And I will never say anything that angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're truly patient when you face a hardship, then know that whatever the story and event you're going through is good for you. These are not my words, but the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know some people went through such tragedies of all types. May Allah grant you patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for what you're going through. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look what he says. He says, the greater the trial, the greater the reward. And he said, whoever is pleased with what Allah has decreed, then Allah will be pleased by them. Allah will honor them. Allah will grant them the best of life and afterlife. And whoever is displeased by Allah's decree, is angry, why did Allah do this, and complain about Allah, then Allah's anger will be upon that person. May Allah protect us from Allah's anger. We pray to Allah to protect us from His anger. And we pray to Allah to shower us with His pleasure and mercy. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters, and in that same year, in the 10th year after immigration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes the intention to perform one of the five pillars of Islam after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse where he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. And it's due upon the people to go to the house of Allah, the Kaaba, and perform the pilgrimage, the Hajj, to those who are capable, to those who are able to spend the money, have the health, so on and so forth. And when this announcement was made that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made the intention to perform Hajj in that 10th year after immigration, people start coming from all over Arabia to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and perform Hajj just like how he is doing it. Brothers and sisters, just a moment for all of us here. We should do our absolute best to perform Hajj as soon as we possibly can. As soon as we possibly can. Do you and I, not sometimes, or many people, save money to go buy a house? Do people not try to save money to go buy a car? Why not try to also start saving money to perform Hajj, a pillar of Islam, a life-changing experience? May Allah grant it to all of us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. With that being said, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is heading towards Hajj, look to what he says. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, khudhu anni manasikakum. Take from me, learn from me the rituals of Hajj. Learn from me what I say, what I do, and how I behave. Then he says, فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي, for I do not know, لَعَلِّي لَا أَحُجُّ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا, perhaps I may not perform Hajj after this year once again. So this is the first Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you inshallah, you'll benefit so much from the following as well. He gives us the equation in which if you perform correctly, Allah will reward you for your Hajj. And you can use that for any act of worship. How does it work? As follows. Are you with me, inshallah? May Allah bless you. It's the exterior actions. The actions of the tongue and the body. The exterior actions. Plus the interior actions. The actions of the heart. If you do the exterior plus the interior, you will get the reward. For example, the exterior actions, such as in the case of Hajj, is to throw 7 pebbles. Which is the jamarat. For example, to spend the day in Arafat. For example, to spend the night in Muzdalifah. And things of that sort. Circulating 7 times around the Kaaba. Going from Mountain Safa to Mountain Marwa. And all these details which you can find in the books of law about Hajj. And be sure, this is advice from your brother, that when you do learn the exterior of Hajj, you rely on trustworthy people and resources, because there's so many books out there. I've witnessed with my own eyes, heard with my own ears, things are very strange, not from the Prophet ﷺ, and may actually not help you and get the absolute best of results. So that is what the exterior actions. But that alone does not give you the fruit of any act of worship. You also need the interior actions, such as being sincere. That you're performing Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not performing Hajj because you want to have this title, Hajji, so and so. Not in such a way. Or I want it to be on the wedding card just for the sake of showing off. May Allah grant you and I sincerity. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So you go to Allah as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Your actions are judged based on the intentions. May Allah purify your intention and my intention. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. What else of the actions of the heart? Being humble to Allah. Being humble to the Creator. Allah says in the Quran, beautiful ayah, ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. And the one who honors the symbols of Allah, then that says a lot about your heart. If you honor the circulating around the Kaaba, if you honor the kissing of the black stone, if you honor the throwing of the 7 pebbles and spending the night in Muzdalifah in a desert, yet many times you may not know what's the real wisdom behind it. But that shows you your submission to Allah. May Allah allow us to be humble to His commands and respect Him. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And the humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of the action of the heart. But also, there's the humbleness to the creation. Yes, the creation. It was in Hajj, brothers and sisters, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the following. He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. And you imagine, tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands. This is probably the biggest gathering of the Prophet ﷺ he ever had. Giving his speech. Look what he says. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Ala inna rabbakum wahid. Your Lord is one. Wa inna abakum wahid. You all come from the same father, Adam alayhi salam. So we all are from the same source. And we all look the same. In ihram, especially when the men wear the 2 pieces of white clothing, you cannot tell who's the rich and who's the poor. You cannot tell who comes from a famous elite family and who doesn't. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, Ala la fadla. You being a Arab, it does not make you better than the non-Arab. And you being a non-Arab does not make you better than the Arab. You being a white man doesn't make you better than the black man. You being a black man doesn't make you better than the white man. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet ﷺ says, all these measurements of greatness, look how I look like, look at my skin color, look at my family name, look at my ethnicity. All of that in the sight of Allah are of no value. This does not determine your greatness in any way, shape, or form. That's what we fight over today. The Prophet tells you, no, that's not what you fight over. That's something incorrect. These bonds of brotherhood should not be based on skin color and culture. May Allah forgive us and protect us. O Prophet of Allah, then tell us, our greatness is based on what? He says, illa bit taqwa. Allahu Akbar. It's based on your God consciousness, based on your piety. It is based on how many of Allah's commands do you follow. So as one of our teachers, they taught us, your race to Allah, the race to Allah is a race of hearts. Allahu Akbar. And the only one who knows the winner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us pure hearts. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And just to help you understand this more and more, one time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting next to a companion and a man passed by. So the Prophet said, ما تقولون في هذا? What do people say about this man? What's his reputation like? So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, as of this man that just walked by, if he ever proposes to any girl, the family will be so happy and will accept his proposal. The girl would love it from such noble man in the sight of people. If this man ever tries to intercede and hook up someone, people will accept his intercession. And when he speaks, all people listen. So the Prophet, sakat, remained silent. Then one of the poor people of the Muslims passed by. So the Prophet ﷺ asked the same companion, what's the reputation of this man? What do people say about this man? Then the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, as for this man, if he ever proposes to anyone, he will be rejected. If he ever tries to intercede for someone, it will not be accepted. And if he ever tries to speak, and he will not be listened to. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this. May Allah grant us wisdom and understanding. Ready? He says, that one person, the poor Muslim, is more valuable and is better than had the whole earth be covered with the first person you complimented. Can you imagine that? So if we have 1 billion people of the first person, all that billion, add all the piety, add all the deeds, add all the sincerity of 1 billion people will not equal to that one man which he just said about, people will not listen to, people will reject, and so on and so forth. Why? Because it's not about looks, it's not about skin color, it's not about background, it's about piety in the heart, which is manifested in our actions. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Okay, brother, can you help us? You know, if I have that sense of racism, if I have this sense of pride that is kicking in, do you have any advice? Yeah. I'll share with you one. The advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ready for it inshallah? Bismillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will not enter Jannah until you believe. You got that? You will not enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. Allahu Akbar. May Allah allow every one of us here to love one another. Ameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, shall I tell you something? If you do, you will love one another. Please tell us. He said, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread greetings to one another. So go to that person and say, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Greet that person. Be in communication with that person. This will make you love the other person. This will make you a true believer. And this will enter you into Jannah. May Allah allow me to see you all in Jannah, Ameer Rabbil Alameen, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, with that being said, brothers and sisters, all of these were the actions of the heart. In addition to that, and the last part to share with you, is to come onto the Hajj, and you're trying to work on your akhlaq, your character, being patient, persevere. Oh my God, Hajj requires patience. Allah says in the Quran, whoever intends to go to Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. You go to Hajj and you don't get involved into, for example, sexual relations with a spouse. Don't get involved into the foul language and sins, whether minor or major. And no argumentation, no fighting in Hajj. You know how much patience one needs for that? When I was doing tawaf in the first Hajj I performed, may Allah accept from all of us, you know, it's really crowded. So someone pushed someone until I got pushed. Who started it? I have no idea. But what I know is when I got pushed, I stepped on one person's foot. And that person was angry. Allah is my witness. He was so tall that I had to look all the way up to him like this. And he was fuming. And I can't run away. This is crowded. I can't tell people, stop, stop, stop. Let me talk to the person. You got to work on yourself. So I start to speak to him in Arabic. You know, ana a'tadir, ana asif, I'm sorry. He didn't understand the language or so. I spoke in English. I apologize, brother. He didn't get it. He was very angry. You know, the brother perhaps can do hajj with me like this, like tawaf. May Allah forgive us. Big and strong and tall. So I jumped all the way up and kissed his forehead, then smiled. Then he looked at me, and then he smiled. Alhamdulillah, I was forgiven. Alhamdulillah, may Allah mend our relationship with our brothers and sisters. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So it requires a lot of work. May Allah protect us all and forgive us. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So when you do the exterior actions, plus the interior actions, you get the reward. And what's the reward of Hajj? Let me share with you two very briefly, inshallah. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the reward of Hajj, that you will come out of it sinless. Zero sins on your book of deeds. Allahu Akbar. Like a newborn baby. And the other reward, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the proper Hajj will have no lesser reward than Jannah. Allah. No lesser reward than Jannah. May Allah grant it to you. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, throughout the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many beautiful things happened. And he gave some of the most powerful speeches ever. I'll share with you one speech, inshallah, into four parts. I'm giving just a summary of it and some major points in it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the greatest day of the year, the day of Arafah, the ninth day of the last month of the Islamic calendar. The ninth day of the last month of the Islamic calendar. The greatest day the sun ever rises upon. This is the day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says how much Allah loves and appreciates. It's the day that Allah loves when we make dua and we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, if you were not in Hajj, if you were not in Hajj on that ninth day and you fast, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the one who fasts the day of Arafah, Allah forgives the sins of 2 years. The year that passed and the year that comes after. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us and protect us and allow us to fast that day had we not been in Hajj. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So on that day, that blessed day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember, the time is tight. Hajj is exhausting. The crowd is large. So every word is calculated. Every word is concise by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as always. And look what he says. I'll address four things with you that he mentioned in his beautiful sermon. He said, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He says, your lives and your wealth are sacred. And in one narration, وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ, and your honor and your dignity are sacred. So he's teaching us, be away from all types of oppression, especially the oppression that involves taking people's lives, those who are innocent, especially the wealth of people, especially the honor and dignity of people, run away from. Don't ever oppress anyone. And he was very firm in that speech. Be away from oppression. May Allah protect us. You know how bad oppression is? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, protect yourself from the supplication of the one who is oppressed. Why? Because when the one who is oppressed, the one who lost their rights because of an oppressor, when they pray to Allah, nothing will stop that supplication from happening. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the reasons of this, look what he said. I pray to Allah that I meet him without owing anyone any right in terms of me oppressing anyone. He used to pray for that, for how serious oppression is. And he gives us the advice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, whoever wronged anyone in this life, try to work things out today. Work it out today. Your heart is beating, brothers and sisters. So work it on today. Why? He says, before a time comes that if you spend all the money in the world, you cannot pay them back. The ones you oppressed. You oppress someone, some rights involved, fix it today. Why, Ya Rasulullah? Because on the day of judgment, the currency will be about good deeds and bad deeds. And the one who oppressed will have to give away good deeds as the size of the oppression and will give it to those whom he oppressed. So much so that the one who oppressed may give up all the good deeds. Oh Allah, all the good deeds. The hard-earned good deeds. The Quran that you read. The Qiyam that you prayed. The donations that you gave. Gone because of oppression. Gave it away to all those who have oppressed. طيب, if they ran out of good deeds and there's still more people, that man oppressed, that woman oppressed, what happens? Those who are oppressed will pass on their sins to the oppressor. May Allah forgive us and protect us. So after coming in the day of judgment with so many good deeds, now it's all gone and more bad deeds. May Allah forgive us and protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So number one, be away from all types of oppression, especially ones that involve people's lives, people's wealth, and people's dignity and honor. Second thing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيَّ مَوْضُوعٍ. He says, any matters of the backward cultural norms. There's many things that the Arab they used to do that was so backwards. He said, all of that, it's over. No culture practice that contradicts Islam is to be practiced from now on. Any backward, you know, habits and so on and so forth needs to be done. So any culture practice that is complementing or comes along with Islam, there's no problem with that. But anything that is damaging, anything that is wrong, you should get away from it. As many of the scholars, they said, one of the biggest problems that the people have for not following the truth is them holding so tight to their backwards cultures and norms. May Allah forgive us and grant us wisdom. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. To share with you an example, you know, and this is no disrespect to the people as much as just wanting to advise all of us. You know, there's a baby that was born. So the parents wishing the baby will never get an evil eye, will never be jinxed. So they put, in some cultures, a blue eye, just a blue eye, and attach it onto that baby's clothing. So whenever the baby is being passed around to see, you know, to comment, to gift, they see the blue eye as if it's an evil eye protector, like a screen protector. And that is incorrect. Maybe part of the culture believed in that. So this is an example to let go of these beliefs. Allah protects. You want a screen protector on the child from evil eye and jinxing? Then read beautiful dua from the Prophet ﷺ. See the dua of the Prophet ﷺ that he used to do to the two grandchildren he had, Al-Hasan and Hussein. أعيذكما بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua he made with Allah's beautiful words to protect the child from the evil eye and from the devil, so on and so forth. So with that being said, brothers and sisters, any cultural norms and practices contradict Islam, get rid of it. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And the third out of the fourth to share with you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, remember the gathering, massive gathering, time is tight, the crowd is big, Hajj is exhausting. And look what he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fulfill the rights of women. Fulfill the rights of women and beware of Allah's punishment had you not do so. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, no one honored women. No one honored women better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No religion honors women better than Islam. And the moment our men and women, they hold tight to Islam, they will be honored and dignified. And anytime they hold on to anything else that contradicts Islam, wallahi, no dignity will be there. May Allah allow us to be people of wisdom. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Don't let people change your mind or brainwash you or anything like that. Islam is old. Islam is no longer applicable. La wallah. It is applicable in every time and every place. May Allah grant us wisdom and understanding of Islam. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And the Prophet says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Be mindful of your woman. Fulfill their rights. This comes to show you, brothers and sisters, that a true man, according to Islam, according to Allah, is the one who is merciful, the one who is kind, the one who is trustworthy towards his woman. Wallahi, he is not a true man, the one whom the wife has to beg for a nice word to come from him. A true man is not a man whom the woman has to beg to see a smile from the face of the husband. It's not a true man, the one who is gentle, kind, merciful, understanding when he goes outside the house. But when he comes back to the house, becomes like a wild beast. People want to be away from him at home. That's not a true man. May Allah forgive us and protect us. May Rabbil Alameen. And I warn you and I warn myself. All the brothers, those especially those who are married, I warn you. You know who will be against us yawm al-qiyamah. If we are not fulfilling the rights of our women, you know who will be on the other side against us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you and I handle that? One more time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be on the other side against us if we don't fulfill the rights of the woman. Where did you get that from, brother? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقَّ الضَّعِيفَيْنِ الْيَتِيمِ وَالْمَرْأَةِ. He said, I issue a warning. I warn, very stern warning against those who are basically abusive do not fulfill the rights of the two vulnerable people, the orphan and the woman. May Allah protect us, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. May Allah fill our homes with happiness and joy, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Let's learn from the greatest husband of all time, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You know how he used to deal with his wife Aisha? He used to call her Aish. Aish, a beautiful, sweet nickname that she liked and he found so sweet and he also liked. And that's the dealing between husband and wife. You know, how about you and I? We learned that from the Prophet ﷺ. Give a nickname which the wife likes. Call her my beloved, Habibati, whatever your culture is, to show that beautiful gesture and beautiful kind words. May Allah grant us wisdom and a blessed, beautiful marriage. The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha, she was asked, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behave when he was at home? How was he behaving like? She said, he used to always be at the service of his family. Did you get that? The Prophet of Allah, one of the busiest people ever walked on earth. The one, addition to that point, the one whom the doors of Jannah will be opened for, when he's at home, he's at the service of his family. Allahu Akbar. But Aisha said, however, when the time of salah comes, then he goes and he performs his salah. May Allah allow us to be people of understanding. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Check this out. This is beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one time he told his wife Aisha, he said, I know when you are happy with me and I know when you are upset at me. She said, and how do you know that? He said, when you are happy with me, you say, Wa Rabbi Muhammad, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. So whenever you want to swear, you say, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. And whenever you are upset at me, you say, Wa Rabbi Ibrahim, I swear by the Lord of Prophet Ibrahim. Then Aisha, she says, yes, you are right. Then she says, Wallahi ya Rasulallah, I swear to Allah, O Prophet of Allah, that I may abandon only your name from my tongue. Allahu Akbar. Meaning, but you are never abandoned from the heart. Ya Allah. May Allah bless our marriages. May Allah grant us wisdom with how to treat one another. Be sure to overlook some of the shortcomings here and there. May Allah grant us. Once again, the aspect of wisdom is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look what he said. And I'll end with this one. He says, it is not befitting for a believing man to dislike his wife, a believing woman, over one bad trait that she has. It's not befitting. He said, إِن كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخر. If there's one thing you don't like about your wife, then look at one thing that you like about your wife. Allahu Akbar, try to be balanced. No one is perfect. We all have shortcomings. We all have problems. This is advice for all of us. May Allah grant us, once again, a blessed marriage. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So he said, be away from oppression. He said, watch out from cultural norms and practices that contradict Islam and be away from it. And he said, fulfill the rights of women. And lastly, to share with you, he says, I'm leaving behind something. If you hold very tight to, you will never go astray. Allahu Akbar. What is that thing? So you and I can hold so tight to. What is it? He said, Kitab Allah. It is the book of Allah, brothers and sisters. May Allah allow you and I to have strong connection with the Quran. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. It's the connection from the heavens all the way to the earth. That's the connection, the food for our soul. And if you cut that connection, if there's no Quran in our lives, we don't read it, we don't hear it, we don't contemplate on it, and so on and so forth, we cut it completely, then we're dead. Yes, the heart may be beating, the legs may be walking, the eyes may be open and seeing, but the heart, the soul is dead. And these are not my words. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant us life, the real life. Ameen. He said, the example of the one who mentions Allah, remembers Allah. And of course, the greatest of mentioning is the Quran. And the example of the one who does not remember Allah, does not do the dhikr of Allah, and which includes the recitation of the Quran, completely cut it off, is like the one who's alive and the one who's dead. May Allah grant us life. Brothers and sisters, the people of the Quran, may Allah make you and I amongst them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he says. He says, Inna lillahi ahlina minan nas. Allah has a group of people whom he loves so much, whom Allah gets, they are so close to him, whom Allah helps, whom Allah assists with like a VIP protection. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us who are these people. He said, they are the people of the Quran. May Allah make you and I amongst them. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Honor and dignity to them. to give you a glimpse, an example. Ubay ibn Ka'b, may Allah be pleased by him. Check this out. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Ubay. He says, "Ya Ubay, Allah told me to read Quran to you." Ubay ibn Ka'b said, "Asammani Rabbi? O Prophet of Allah, Allah mentioned me by name to you to read Quran to me." The Prophet said, "Na'am, yes." Fabaka. And he started crying out of joy. Brothers and sisters, Ubay ibn Ka'b, may Allah be pleased by him, it was not known that he used to donate so much like Uthman, or know so much hadith like Abu Hurairah, or serve the Prophet so much like Anas, or fought in the battlefield like Khalid. But he was known to be a person of the Quran, tried his best to implement every command, tried his best to read and memorize and recite and hear, and to use it in every possible good way, Allahu Akbar. And due to that work towards the Quran, Allah honored him to that level that he specified a special, you know, invitation to hear the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to truly connect tight to the Quran, I want you to give me your undivided attention. Our scholars give us these five routes to learn and to connect with the Quran. Number one, to listen and to read the Quran. Wallahi, it's not befitting for an entire day to pass by where our mouth, whereas our tongue did not read the Quran, where our ears does not hear the Quran. This is the food of our soul. May Allah grant us life. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So read the Quran, have like a daily a practice that you have. And I'll share with you an example. Alhamdulillah, we have good applications out there. I'll share with you one. There's an application called Khatma. Beautiful. It makes you set up how much you want to read on a daily basis. They give you a reminder. And you finish in accordance. Beautiful stuff. You want to do 2 pages a day? You want to do 1 juzu' a day? You want to do 20? You want to do 40 pages? You set your limits. You set your target. And you go from there. And FYI, I don't take any benefit from promoting that application. And if there's anything better than that, make sure you share it with other people. But there's things out there to help you be consistent with reading the Quran. And I know, I do understand, some of us have difficulty reading. Some of us can take maybe 10 minutes on one line, understand? And Rasulullah knows, and Allah knows best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells the people who are struggling, he says, whoever reads the Quran and is struggling, yatata'ta' falahu ajran. You get two rewards, Allahu Akbar. The reward of the recitation and the reward of the struggle that you're going through. Put the effort. Allah made the Quran possible for you to read, even though Arabic is not your first language. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Allah said, we have made the Quran easy to be remembered, easy to be recited. It can be possible, but work hard. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرْ. Are you going to take the action item and work on it? Allah is my witness. In one of my previous engineering products, a man of status at work, senior engineer, he came to me and he said, would you mind, Brother Majid, sharing a few minutes of your lunchtime to teach me how to read the Quran? May Allah grant him the best. I don't praise on Allah's behalf, but it was very humbling and it was very inspiring to me. So I said, why not? So we spent about 2 to 3 days of lunchtime a week to read the Quran. He used to prepare at home to his best of ability. Then he comes to our session at lunchtime, read for a few minutes. Allah is my witness. Eventually, he read so fluently, so beautifully. And subhanAllah, the one who always fulfills his promise, you try to get close to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always bring you closer to Him. You walk to Allah and Allah will run to you. Brothers and sisters, read the Quran, listen to the Quran. That's one of the five to share with you. And by the way, you may have a different way of categorization, which is all fine inshallah. The second of the five is to contemplate on the Quran. Yes, we read. Yes, we hear the Quran, but you also need to contemplate. How many times we read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ الصَّمَدُ. What does it mean? How long have we read it? Yet, we don't know what it means. الصَّمَدُ, the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his names. الصَّمَدُ is the one who does not need anybody, but everybody needs him. Allahu Akbar. This is one of the meanings of Allah's name, الصَّمَدُ. You hear the Quran, you contemplate. Look at Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased by him. Ready for this? He says to the people, anytime you hear in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, he said, pay attention. Why? Because anytime Allah says, O you who believe, after it, Allah will tell you either for you to do something or for you to stay away from something. Allahu Akbar. contemplate the Quran. So the first one, read and listen. Second, contemplate the Quran. Third, which is very important, is acting upon the Quran. The Quran, Allah says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't backbite one another. So you act upon it. You don't backbite one another. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and His Prophet. So you respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You respect the authentic narrations the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said. And we take from that, Allahu Akbar. Look at the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah be pleased by him. Check this out. One time, a man came and insulted Umar radiallahu anhu. Insulted him so bad and accused him of the worst of sins. Then Umar al-Khattab got so angry. He got up about to do something to him. So a third party, a third person saw this and he addressed Umar. And he told Umar, Allah says in the Quran, he's quoting a verse, check this out. Allah says in the Quran, خُذِ الْعَفُ, forgive, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, do that which is good, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and ignore the ignorant people. And ya Umar, this man who is insulting you is ignorant. The story, authentic narration, Umar froze, تَوَقَّف, froze. This is a prime example of acting upon the Quran. The ayah said, okay, that's it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah allow us to be people that act upon the Quran. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Four out of the five, going to the next one, is to use the Quran as a book of guidance, a book of justice that guides you and you have problems and disputes. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِن شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah says, and in anything over which you disagree, its ruling is to be referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are matters of inheritance, who gets what and how much and things of that sort. Go back to the Quran as a reference. There's a divorce between people, between a man and a woman. How do we spend on the child? Who takes care of what? See what the Quran says and many, many more examples. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And please do not belittle the Quran, especially when judging in terms of disputes and so on, and say, this is no longer applicable. Wallahi, this sentence is powerful. It can be very damaging. May Allah grant us wisdom. The fifth thing with the Quran. Ready for this one? I pray to Allah that you and I apply. It's very important. Use the Quran as means of cure and medication. Yes, that's one of the ways to connect to the Quran. And I'm not saying cure and medication only in terms of to the soul, but also to the illnesses of the actual body. To the actual body. Allah says in the Quran, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, we have sent down the Quran. In the Quran is cure and mercy to the believers. Those who believe in the words of the Quran and they recite it, Allah will make it as means of cure. Allahu Akbar. Check this out. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in authentic narration, there was a leader of a tribe who got bitten by a poisonous snake. And that poison spread to the body. The guy became weak, struggled to breathe. The body was so weak, couldn't walk, couldn't move. And then the tribe tried everything possible to cure the man, the leader who got bitten by the poisonous snake, and nothing worked with him, nothing. So then they saw a group of travelers who happened to be Muslims. So they rushed to them out of desperation and they asked them, oh, you travelers, do you have anything that can cure our leader? He has been bitten by a poisonous snake. We did everything possible, yet he's not cured. So one of the companions, one of the believers said, yes, I can try an attempt to do what? What's your cure? What's your medicine? He says, the recitation of the Quran, the ruqyah. And he went to that man, to the leader, who was stung and bitten by the poisonous snake. He went and he read, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, till the end of the chapter 1, Surah Al-Fatiha. And narration says, in no time, that pain was gone. In no time, the man was able to walk as if nothing happened. Allahu Akbar, the power of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard of this event. The Sahaba told him the story and he approved of it. That yes, Al-Fatiha, chapter 1, is a means to recite when there is pain. May Allah protect us, Ameen Rabbil Alameen, to cure that pain. May Allah, I pray to Allah, to cure all those who are sick amongst us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, this was a gist of the summary of the khutbah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his sermon where he spoke about what? Remember, will I remind you? What was the first one? Be away from oppression. Number two, get rid of bad cultural practices. Number three, fulfill the rights of women. Number four, hold tight to the book of Allah and you will never go astray. And there's more details, of course, to that sermon that inshallah you can go and go into depth and learn more about it. At the end of the sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the people, you will be asked about me. Huh? You will be asked about me whether I delivered the message or not. فَمَاذَا تَقُولُونَ What will you say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you? They said, we will say and we bear witness. We bear witness, O Prophet of Allah. قَدْ بَلَّغْتْ وَأَدَّيْتْ وَنَصَحْتْ You have conveyed the message. You fulfilled the trust and you gave us the best of advice. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his finger pointed to the sky and said, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. O Allah, bear witness of their testimony. O Allah, bear witness to their testimony. O Allah, bear witness to their testimony. This shows you the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he himself will be asked whether he fulfilled the trust or not. What about you and I? Allah will ask us, did you fulfill the trust? And every one of us has trusts involved. Some of us are married, our spouses and children are a trust. May Allah allow you and I to fulfill the trusts. And may Allah forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, eventually the Hajj came to an end and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fulfilled that pillar of Islam, his first Hajj ever, and he went back to Medina and spent the last few days of the 10th year of emigration in Medina. However, at the beginning of the 11th year after emigration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to feel very sick, very exhausted, so much in pain, unlike any other pain he experienced in terms of exhaustion, so on and so forth. And we will talk about that in more details. It's a message that will have, it will be painful. But inshallah, we'll also have hope in it. We can all learn bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our next session. May Allah grant us long lives to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn from him. And may Allah allow you who has been watching this entire period of time, may Allah grant you the ability to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest levels in Jannah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.